Vishnu is the husband. Okay, it's Vishnu is the Sunama, and we're on 129. Avyangaha. 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 Repeat after me. Avyangaha.
Avyangaha.
Avyangaha jnanadibhihi.
Avyangaha jnanadibhihi.
Paripurnaha.
Paripurnaha.
Avikalaha.
Avikalaha.
Uchate.
Uchate.
Breaking the semi there. So, avyangaha. The word avyangaha, there's going to be two etymologies, two ways it's broken down. This is the first word. Avyangaha means jnanadibhihi, by means of reference to knowledge, jnana, etc. I'll tell you that, etc. in a minute. Paripurnaha, the one who is absolutely full. Purna means full. Pari means full from all directions, the one who is completely full. Avikalaha, paripurnaha. Paripurnaha means avikalaha, without any vikala. Vikala means like deficiencies or limitations. So yangaha means a limitation or a deficiency. Avyangaha means without any limitations. So the one who is paripurnaha, avikala, the unnegates vikala, so avikalaha, unnegates yanga, avyangaha. So the one who is completely full, completely complete, by means of jnana, adi, etc., etc. So if we go to the words for that go along with jnanam, it's very similar to what goes along with Bhagavan, the word, the one who has the six bhagas, right, the six wills. And the six will we say, in terms of the samagra, absolutely complete in each one of these. So in terms of jnanam, knowledge, which means sarvajnaha, the one who has all knowledge, paripurna, no limitations in reference to knowledge. Virya, virya is the shakti, so the jnana kriya icha shakti, all of the shaktis that are necessary for the manifestation of the creation. It's also srishti stiti laya, those are the shaktis. The srishti shakti, the one that projects the creation, stiti, maintains the creation. And then Alaya withdraws the creations, the one who has all shakti. That's virya, or shakti. Then Aishwarya is overlordship, in the sense that there's no master or lord that's over Ishwara, right? Ishwara is, in the end, the one whose creation it is. So that's Aishwarya. Then there's Shreyas, Yashas. Yashas means the one who is all... There's no one more famous than Bhagavan.
No celebrity.
Yeah, no greater celebrity than Bhagavan. So that's yeshas, his fame. Then there's vairagya, dispassion, when he has complete dispassion, because there's nothing that he's not. Right? So there's nothing. You can't have, you know, a desire for anything because you're already that. Right. So absolute. The one who has absolute vairagya, absolute knowledge, absolute yashas, absolute virya, and absolute aishwarya. I think that's all of them, isn't it?
That's five.
Oh, it's good enough.
No.
Teaches.
Jnana, aishwarya, virya, yashas.
Fala
is strength. He's doing a different list there.
That's part of the view, yeah.
Yeah,
that's part of the view. Yeah. It's
Aishwarya. Aishwarya, jnanam, vairagya, virya, yashas, shri, the one who has all wealth. So here, Swamiji's giving some other different names. If you look on page 77, they're similar. Jnana, knowledge, all knowledge. Samagra means complete, absolute. Jnanam, Aishwarya, Shakti, Shakti, Bala, Virya. All of these are just different names for Virya, for the Shakti. Okay. And Tejas. Tejas is strength. So he gives all of these things for Virya. I don't know. He's just thinking about different names. But these six are the names that are covered. Okay. But one's what I just gave you. And this, I mentioned this before, but you can actually go to, in your book, a great chapter to read. Page 14 in your book, where all of these attributes of Bhagavan.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning.
Yeah, he goes over. Virya yasha shriha jnana vairagya aishwarya aishwarya virya yasha shri jnana vairagya.
Why should
the six bhagas in absolute measure? So but here with the abhyakta or abhyanga, it means there's no limitation for any of these, for anything, any of the yangas. We'll see in a minute. So
why is it so hard to remember a list?
I don't know. I usually dig one out. So it's well. Here, the one who is, you know, who is absolutely full, not lacking in any of the angas. There's nothing lacking. It's absolutely complete. The anga means the anga is one angas. The angas are crippled or something. The limbs are crippled or feet. There's something missing from one of the limbs. Avyangam, there's nothing missing from any of the limbs. Paripurna. Another way to take anga, vyanga, and the reason we're taking that is that anga, the word anga, he doesn't say this here, but I just tell you, the word anga can mean a limb, like the four Vedas can be the four angas of Bhagavan, the four limbs of Bhagavan. But anga can also mean the body, the whole body. You know, and so here, if you're talking about the whole body as this whole creation. So here if you go, Vyangaha, so repeat after me, Vyangaha,
Vyangaha,
Vyaktihi,
Vyaktihi,
Navidyate,
Yasya
Itiva,
Yasya Itiva.
So here, Vyangaha means Vyakti. Vyakti means that which is manifest. Vyakti can mean form or that which is manifest. So Vyangaha means Vyaktihi. Na vidyate yasya, for the one for whom there is no form, for the one for whom there is nothing is manifest, because in the end, the one who is absolutely unmanifest is the Satchitananda Brahman. Brahman is not manifest. Manifest means coming into objective. Anything that can come into objectification, even the entire creation, is mana, can be manifest. Right? Brahman is never manifest. It's never come into manifestation. It is known because it's consciousness. It's self-evident. Its self-evident nature doesn't require coming into manifestation. So the one who has never become manifest, but is always there, is the Satchitananda Atma. It means the Satchitananda Atma is timeless. Right? It doesn't go. It doesn't have any parts. It doesn't go through any change. Then you say, oh, it never becomes manifest in your mind. You think, well, then it can never be known because it never comes into manifestation. Well, that would be true if it required a pramana or a means of knowledge to know it. But when its own swarupa, its own nature, is conscious being, it doesn't require coming into manifestation. It's self-evident. It's a prakashan form.
So even if the creation disappeared, it would still remain?
Absolutely. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you're just asking me that so I can talk about it.
Yeah. Please.
When we say something cannot come into manifestation, it doesn't exist within time and space. It's the very being of time and space, and time and space is withdrawn, just like in your dream. Imagination, if you withdraw a thought, or you withdraw an imagination, or you withdraw the dream, the time, space, duality that belong to that imagination, or to that dream, or to this creation, is withdrawn. Right? Time and space belong to the manifest creation, as to its all duality. Brahman is not manifest. Brahman is known because it is consciousness itself. It's self-shining. And it's after the self-shining consciousness that everything else shines. For instance, say you have an imagination. All of the and in that imagination, all the beings are running around, and the whole imagination is known. It's known not by its own light, but by the light of consciousness. Right? It depends upon consciousness for it to be known. Right? And all of the jivas in the imagination depend on the consciousness, that one consciousness from which it has come, for them to be known. then when you withdraw that imagination, all of those names and forms are withdrawn, but the conscious being remains the one because of which all of the everything that is manifest is known.
So when you say Brahman is known to who or what?
If I say Brahman is known, when I say like that, Brahman is known by its own swarupa, by means of its own swarupa, because it doesn't require a pramana, a means of knowledge, and it doesn't require a subject-object relationship. It is known because that's its nature as consciousness. Its knownness doesn't require a knower. Its knownness, the knownness of Brahman doesn't require a knower. The knownness is its very nature as consciousness. So that would be like saying, you, when you get down to the absolute nature of you, the subject that cannot be objectified, that subject conscious being me is known not by an object or by another pramana or by another consciousness. It doesn't require a subject-object relationship for the me, this conscious being, to shine. It shines and is known because of its swarupa being consciousness. That means that if I get rid of the whole creation, there is no duality. Conscious being shines, is known, not because there's a knower, but because it's self-evident as consciousness.
Seems like we're kind of torturing the word known. That's really.
Some people think that. Yes, and but I'll tell you the reason that saying is known is useful. Because we can differentiate our experience in reference to everything we know in the world. Like I can say, this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. Right? The is-knownness of all things is a common denominator. This is known, this is equally known, this is equally known. Space is known. Everything that I'm perceiving right now enjoys being known. I could say that about all of my emotions. This is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. But that requires the vritti, the thought modification, to be there for these individual things to be known. But as long as the thought modification or emotion, whatever is there, they enjoy the stature of being known. Everything. As a common denominator, they all enjoy the stature of being known. They also enjoy the stature of being. This is emotion, this is dream. They enjoy the stature of being, of existence, and they enjoy the stature of being known, as long as that vritti is there. Mm-hmm. Without the vritti, then they're at that time, so just talking subjectively, they are not enjoying the stature of being known because the vritti has moved on, thought modification has moved on. So now there's another group of things that enjoy the stature of being and being known. Okay. So being and being known is the constant. The names and forms go on changing, but the being known is the constant of all experience, in fact. Now, being and being known is also the constant of my own experience as me, the conscious being. But the being and being known of me, of conscious being, is not dependent on a vritti. It's not dependent on anything because it is actually my nature. And so when we're talking about Advaita, non-duality means all of this, every single thing that we experience has only one substance there. Right? And what is that substance? Conscious being which is consciousness. And that being which is consciousness is self-evident. It doesn't require anything to light it up. Because it is there, everything is known. But for me, as for Ishwara, the whole creation is known because there's no limitation. There's no upadhi limitation. The whole Maya upadhi is the natural expression of Brahman. But its nature is totally dependent on being known. But being known isn't dependent on anything. Those words are just pointing to the self-evident nature of consciousness. So that's why I like to keep this being known, because you can say, okay, this is known, this is known, this is known. This is. All of it is being known. Everything. Everything, every single experience that we have without any, without any exception. Everything enjoys being known. Then, what about me? Am I known or not? I might not know who I am, but in contextually, but I certainly know that I am here. So I am, and I am known as here I am. Mm. But this I am is the being known. It is the very Swarupa. I am the very Swarupa, the very nature. That is my nature, conscious being, and then everything else shines after that nature.
So I think that if we think of the being known in awake state versus deep sleep state, then in the deep sleep state, is that being known that is a cross pose of those states. And then the meaning of being known is not associated so much with the mind, but with myself, right?
Yes. And the thing is now, with the deep sleep state, being known remains, but the mind is in unmanifest condition in deep sleep. And so, even though this experience is known, there is nobody to comment on it until you're awake.
Yeah.
Because the vritti is in its causal condition. When you wake, then you comment on it as a memory. Just like you comment when you're awake, you comment on your dream state. You remember it. But in the dream state, you think, oh, well, yeah, but I'm there as a knower. Yeah, actually, you're not there as a knower. The whole dream is known. And the individuals in the dream, they are known. So look at how this goes. This is, I mean, I can see how we get into this illusion, but that's why if I say, okay, all of you are known through my sense organs, all of you are known, that's my experience. And I can detail it also, but just as a general, you're all known. So you are all being known right now. My body is known. My sense organs are known, whether they're working or not, etc. Sense organs are really responsible for giving me a vritti of this. Right, but the sense organs themselves, they are known. They're an instrument, but they're known. They're an instrument for knowing, right, for creating that vritti, but they're also being known. Are my eyes known? Yes. Are my ears known? Yes. They're working, etc. My thoughts, the vrittis themselves, are they known or not? No, they are known. Right? Is the ahankara, the I notion, known? Yes, of course. I am doing this, I am doing that, the word I, it is known. Are my memories known? Yes. Are my emotions known? Yes. Are my feelings known? Yes. Are my relationships known? Yes. Is space known? Yes. Is time known? Yes. Am I known? Yes. You can't say, oh, this is known, but you're not known. Right? So what is actually here is this completed state of knownness or consciousness. Everything exists in the Satchitatma, the being, Sat, which is consciousness, which is infinite. Infinite because there is nothing other than that in terms of what is actually here. So, I am the conscious being and what we call the karana. The karana, the actual upadana karana, the actual material cause of everything I experience here. That's why, but we say vivarta upadana karana. Like the pot, the clay is the upadana karana of the pot. I am the upadana karana, the material cause of this creation. But the difference between a pot, clay, and me is that I go through no modification at all. I can bend the pot into, make the pot, develop the clay into a pot, and then squash it into a plate, and then make it into a tumbler. It's changing in some way, even though its essence is not changing, its plainness is not changing, but still it moves. Here, Brahman, conscious being, is not changing to become this creation. It's not modifying itself into the creation. So it's all Satchitananda, but it's moving around becoming the creation. It's not moving at all. It doesn't have any angas, it has no limbs, nor is it manifest. It just is the Satchit being, of absolutely everything we experience is the common denominator, and it's self-evident.
But when you go to sleep, it seems like the knownness of Brahman is no longer experienced.
No, that's what you're not understanding, standing there. What causes this problem is you think of Brahman as a knower. And of course, when the mind is in unmanifest condition, there's no knower-known relationship. Right?
But I'm trying to
Nor is there anyone to comment on the condition.
I'm trying to pinpoint the experience of knownness and what that's like while waking, while dreaming, and while sleeping.
To be able to do that in all, that's why we even bring in the deep sleep state. The deep sleep state helps you to recognize that there's no knower, that Brahman is not a knower.
Okay, I can see that.
Okay, if you can see that, if you can see that in the waking state mm-hmm. and in the dream state, then you don't really have to worry about the deep sleep state, because in deep sleep state there is no time, because time itself is an unmanifest condition. So you really can't say, gosh, I'm here in deep sleep and I'm not knowing anything. It's true that in when the antakaran, when the mind, the vrittis are an unmanifest condition, right? There's not a know or no, but there's no time there for you to say you don't know anything. And yet you never experience an absence of being, but there's nobody commenting on it.
Yeah, but I thought the being is a self-evident experience of knownness.
You're looking, now your problem there, as I said, in deep sleep, I don't have an experience, subject-object experience of knownness.
Right.
Right now itself, you do not have a subject-object experience of knownness. You are that.
So we are essentially Brahman when we're in deep sleep. Is that
what? You're Brahman right now.
Right, I guess. But we can appreciate both.
Yeah, but the thing, no. See, the problem is that in deep sleep, the mind, which is suffering from ignorance in the waking state and the dream state, is still suffering from ignorance in the deep sleep state. So it's not like your mind is awake in the sleep deep sleep state. If it's awake, you're in samadhi. That's nearly called the samadhi. It's an awake mind. Here there's a mind in causal condition. So awareness, your being, is like the sun shining, is illumining pure ignorance. It's not illumining an awake mind. It's not illumining a knowledgeable mind. It's illumining the causal condition of the mind, which is pure ajnana. It's the objective state. Right? And so nothing is being known there, but there's no problem either. Now when you wake up and the mind comes out of its causal condition, you know, with the eyes and ears and etc., then it remembers that condition. But when it's in that condition, there's no commentary going on at all. But there's also no time. Okay. You're not ticking time when you're in deep sleep.
But the self-evident experience of myself has, if it's self-evident, it has knownness, a quality of knownness to it that you seem to experience.
I can use the verb form. I do use that sometimes, but sometimes when you're using the verb form again, even say this is exactly where the word is known comes up. The word, using the word is known, is beautiful in some ways, and then it has drawbacks. Using the word knowing is beautiful, drawbacks. You know, because the nature of conscious being is being just self-evident consciousness. It's not conscious of something. To self-evident consciousness. That also has drawbacks when I use it because I don't know what that, what does that mean?
If you say it's self-evident, it has to be conscious. It has to be evident of itself.
If it's self-evident consciousness, consciousness is self-evident.
To itself.
Yeah, but then you have to be careful. That's true. It's self-shining. But it's not like it is knowing itself as a verb. It
so
is that.
Almost like it's a self slash no self teaching in a way. It kind of seems like it's a class.
What do you mean by no self?
Well, there's nobody home.
No? It's not right either.
You say there's no knower.
What if I say instead of there's, I say there's no knower in terms of the subject-object relationship.
Okay.
There's no knower instead of subject. What are you guys doing? I'm trying to explain something. Are you with me or not?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So if there's knower known, if there's no knower known relationship, we're talking about if there's no knower, let me get back to it, if there's no knower, then we're not saying, we're saying it's not that there's no knower, that you are the self of the knower. You are the self of the knower. You're not the function of knowing. You're the consciousness which the knower enjoys. So you're saying you're not the mind, but you're the consciousness which the mind enjoys. You're not the sense organs, but you're the consciousness which the sense organs enjoy. But from your standpoint, you're just conscious being. So conscious being, then again, these words are problematic because you think, who wants to be just conscious being? Well, conscious being is this me. I am conscious being. Like right now, you can differentiate your own presence, which isn't doing anything. Just self-evident me. The me that is ananda, the me that is most dear. Oops, we're done. We'll get back to it later.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I was just thinking maybe at some point in some class we can just, when we say self and consciousness, maybe at some point we can have a discussion about what consciousness, what is it that we're talking about when we say consciousness, which is kind of the core of everything.
See, you know? And that's what I'm circling around right now is no matter what word you use, those words are all associated with duality. Every word. And so, in order for these words to work, they have to be used as a pramana. In other words, the words have to point to your own being for you to understand at all what they mean.
Well, it's almost like you're saying every single word has a limitation. So you say it, and it goes in an arc, and either we have a realization or it runs into our ignorance. Then we go, well, give me another word. And then you say that one, it goes a little bit, and we get something, or we don't understand.
Yeah, it has to land on you.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to one word. Their whole, one teaching methodology after another is the whole purpose of all of these teaching methodologies is to point to that which is you, which is there, that is nothing. And the words pointing to it, you have to recognize it because it's there to be recognized, not because the word is adequate. The words are just being used adeptly with these, using these teaching methodologies to help you to differentiate the nature of your own presence amidst all of these experiences that you're having. All of the experiences coming and going, any experience that can be negated is not you, it's mitya. Because it's gone. If you can get rid of it, it's gone. You know? That's why deep sleep is valuable. You get rid of a knower in deep sleep.
I like the inquiry. I don't know if you suggested it years ago, or if it's Ramana, or connected Ramana, but the inquiry, what is an object? I love that. Like when I'm walking, what is an object? What is an object? It just
and you're the only one that's not an object.
Yeah, it just keeps going in.
Yeah, you're the one. You know, that's a kind of our, that's the Dhritarishtra. You're the one who can't be objectified, but you still are. You're the one who's left. You objectify everything that can be objectified, and who's left?
More like a, for me, it's more like a feeling landing. What is it? It's more like a feeling than a
if you
conclusion.
Say, I would say if you say what's left is a feeling, but what you have to say is it's a feeling that never can never go.
A feeling that can't be objectified. Like what's
but
that?
But our feelings go in deep sleep too,
right? Yeah, but then the thing is, you have to in deep sleep. There is no mind available to be doing this work.
That's right. There's no problem in
deep sleep is always, you know,
you,
at some point you understand, and until then it's a problem. Asti prajagya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahimadishah gopramaye vyashivamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithivi sasya shalini esho yam shobharaitah brahmana santu nirbhaya om sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayah sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet asato ma satkamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudakshate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavashishyate om shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari